Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like plenary verbal inspiration. God inspired every word of Scripture, guiding the human authors as they wrote without violating each man's personality and writing style. In the Bible, we have the very Word of God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. Oodles of lies for your consideration today, starting with the deceptive narrative. No, it's not deceptive. It's a downright dishonest narrative that blames you and me, dear Christian, for the high suicide rate of people who are confused about their own gender. No doubt you've heard it. Hey, if you don't let them have this health care, then they're going to take their own lives, and you don't want to be responsible for that, do you? Well, it turns out it's time to trust the science. And what is the conclusion? According to a really big study at the University of Texas, I think there's even two of them. Nevertheless, the one from Texas focused on 107,000 patients, 18 and older, that have, quote, gender dysphoria. Some underwent the surgery. Others didn't. And what were the consequences? Well, what do you know? Rates of depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation, and substance use disorders were significantly higher among those who went under the knife. No, that's impossible. That study must be flawed. That can't possibly be what's happening, because we keep telling ourselves and everybody else that if you don't let people get mutilated by a surgeon, it's your fault and you're terrible. Well, it turns out that those who do go through those procedures are more miserable and have higher suicide rates. And so this means the tables really should be turned on this conversation. You're the not nice one. You want people to go through that and kill themselves? I say it's time we turn the narrative around here and start revealing what we knew from common sense and now is being verified by science, that it's not good for people to do contra God things to their body. He's made them a certain way. What a wonderful word we can bring to these people. Don't do that. Don't do that. He wants you this way. He made you this way. We'll get it sorted. Don't go under the knife and don't take all of those chemicals, which will just goof up your body like nobody's business. Males with surgery had depression rates 25% compared to males without surgery 11%, so double the number. And the number's pretty much the same thing for women also. These findings suggest surgery alone doesn't eliminate the complex psychological burdens that stem from societal stigma and personal struggles with identity. Well, I would cast off that the suicidal ideations from societal stigma. It's good when society has norms and encourages you to get within the lines. Now, the lines in some instances are broader or narrower, but a society needs lines, and that's good for people. Now, there was something that I just saw, and it was an individual who felt pressure to not go under the knife, I believe. So they didn't because they thought, oh, the world is going to look askance at me if I'm confused about my gender. So I'm not going to come out about it. And what do you know? They worked through it. Now married with kids. Societal pressure can actually be a good thing. It's one of God's curbs. It's one of God's ways of keeping the society under control. When we conclude there are certain things that are normative, certain things that are not, there's natural law and there's unnatural. And we want people to stay inside of those lines, not just to have an orderly society, but for human flourishing. These differences, same among females. Surgeries aimed to feminize individuals showed particularly high rates of depression. and substance abuse 2 years after the procedures. So in other words, the boys that think that they're going to become a girl by going through this process, they end up wanting to kill themselves. Currently, according to a 2022 study, apparently there are supposedly maybe 1.4 million American adults identifying as trans. I don't think we should be deceived by that number. It's a social contagion. And the kids these days, they're jumping on that train because it gets them some attention. It gets them what they're craving, somebody to care or think that they're special. And so I don't think that number is accurate of people who are like deeply, profoundly confused. It's trendy. It's a trend I never thought that I'd see, but nevertheless, it's trendy. And speaking of which, okay, I'm not going to name names here, not that we're opposed to that, but I happen to know a young man who's going to Kennesaw State University, keeps taking pictures of kids on campus walking around dressed up with bunny ears and cat tails, and they're furries. They're presenting themselves as an animal. And we as a society don't have the love to say, hey, let's take off those paws and have a chat, shall we? See if we can get this sorted for you. What kind of a society doesn't love people enough to confront them with the truth? When working through Matthew 23 right now at Alpharetta Bible Church, I'm telling you, Jesus confronted people with the truth. It's not nasty. It's not belittling. It's not intended to degrade. It is intended to be loving and to help people and to point out, hey, you're doing this all wrong here. And that we're letting, as a society, as we're letting people live under the deception they're a cat, that is not loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, I'm not entirely sure about this because there was another article at the zerohedge.com. Here's the headline: trans surgeries increase risk of suicidal ideation, according to an Oxford study. Now, I'm not really good at geometry, but I don't think Oxford and Texas are close on the map. So I think it's a different study. This was from their Academic Journal of Sexual Medicine. They took a look at over 100,000 patients, so that's why I suspect it's the same study. But nevertheless, the research suggests those who pursue such procedures face a markedly higher risk of mental health challenges compared to those who do not. You and I aren't shocked by that. From the article, this challenges the narrative that so-called gender-affirming surgeries universally improve mental health well-being by alleviating gender dysphoria. Instead, surgical interventions don't address root causes of psychological distress and actually exacerbate them. Let's turn the narrative, shall we? And as long as we're in England, from the Mirror. This article, I couldn't read the whole thing. I tried. It was pretty long, if I remember. Like 6 pages long. It was a glowing expose on it's actually a woman and a guy who got pregnant, but the one guy thinks that he's, no, the, see? This shouldn't be this complex. If we're talking about what is the chemical makeup of this bottle of water? I can understand that getting complex. How a cell phone works, I get genders. Boy, who's a boy, who's a girl, who can have babies, who can't have babies. I mean, just shouldn't be this difficult. So here's the headline. I'm the UK's first man to fall pregnant naturally. And I want more kids. That is such a leap. Because his assumption is that even though he's a girl, okay, even though she's a girl who's, you know, taking all kinds of testosterone and growing a little bit of facial hair, that doesn't make you a man. Painting your nails doesn't make you a chick. Putting a tail on your vertebrae, on the lower vertebrae, doesn't make you a cat. It's offensive to cats, frankly, and it should be offensive to women, and it should be offensive. Oh, You've got some whiskers. I guess you're a dude, because that's all it takes. You just got to have some facial hair. Talk about offensive. And this article, it is absolutely glowing. It's just, here's how it starts. It's a heartwarming story of a family life in leafy English, in a leafy English suburb where mums push baby buggies and grandparents help out. Malachi is the first female to male trans man. Doing the math on that? I would need a graph to read this article. He's the first female to male trans man in the UK ever to have conceived a baby naturally. It's an effort to do what? To persuade us, oh, let's just embrace that. Let's accept that. Nope, we don't, because we're loving and we trust the science. And this isn't good for people. This thing was such a mess. So this woman who just had a baby with a man, who apparently used to just be with men, actually had top surgery. So now you've had a baby and you can't even feed your own child. It's not loving to not speak up. This is Wretched Radio.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King. Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that plus... the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Someone you love is grieving. You want to help, but what do you say? This Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, it's a Fortis Institute webinar with Fortis Institute fellow Tim Challies, because mourning those who mourn isn't just about showing up. It's about knowing how to bring real biblical comfort in the hardest moments. When do you speak? When do you stay silent? How do you pray with someone in deep sorrow? How do you remind them of God's goodness without sounding dismissive? Grief is not a problem to fix. It's a burden to bear. Jesus wept, Paul encouraged, and the church carries one another. Are you prepared? If not, join us this Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for a free Fortis Institute webinar, Comforting Those Who Mourn. You can register now at fortisinstitute.org/webinar. That's fortisinstitute.org/webinar. Because at some point, someone in your life will need you.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is narrative. Narratives tell us of real events with real people in real places at a real time. Not everything we read in narratives is condoned by God, but everything we read is part of God working out His plan for the world.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's official. America is back. This is Wretched Radio. A lot of pundits telling us the confidence of America, it's back. Common sense, it's returned. Well, I think I have an article that demonstrates you better believe it, baby. Melania Trump announces return of White House Easter egg roll. There you go, Jimmy. We are.
Oh, I've been missing that.
Christianity is back. And you say, well, don't you prefer that over when Joe Biden signed some Trans Day celebration thing? And it's like, well, no, here it is right here. It was on Transgender Day of Visibility. We honor the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgender Americans and reaffirm our nation's commitment to forming a more perfect union where all people are created equal and created equally throughout their lives. No, I don't like that, but I don't like National Easter Egg Rolls either. It has nothing to do with it. You want to do an egg roll? If the White House decided, hey, we're going to do a spring festival, celebrating the longer days and the budding of the trees. And we're gonna boil some eggs and color them and go find them. Knock yourself out, but take Easter out of it. It has nothing to do with Easter. And historically, if we've learned anything, please open up, kids. All right, kids, gather on. First Lady's going to read to you. This year, we're going to read the narrative from the Gospel of Matthew. No, it's some dopey Easter bunny story. And I'm sorry to be jealous, but I don't want the government distorting what Easter is about. It ain't about eggs. And by the way, neither is the Trinity. I think maybe I knew about this, but I just this week was reading that somebody said the Trinity is like an egg. No, it's not. Well, you see, you got the eggshell and you got the yolk and then you got the white stuff. What is
the egg whites?
The egg whites. That's well, I was going for the more scientific name, but if you want to dumb it down, fine. The egg whites. No, that's not what the Trinity is like. Those are three separate entities. They're different from one another. Three persons, one God, three persons. One essence. We've got to make sure we protect our Trinitarian theology. And frankly, we should be protecting Easter. And once again this year, if there's ever a groan in heaven, it might be during Sunday morning church services in evangelical churches in America that can't even find their way to the gospel, that can't even present the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ being God's receipt on the payment for our sins and the death burial of Jesus Christ. It's a magnificent Sunday, and all of these churches, they're going to do their Easter egg drops, and they're going to do their gut bunnies showing up, and the pastor's going to do something dopey and silly, and they can't find their way to the gospel. I'm telling you, in great measure, the evangelical church has lost the scent. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
Here's really more positive news besides the, I almost said nudes.
Those aren't positive.
Well, it's because, okay. It's because, how big would a box of crack have to be for me to sit in a corner and consume it before I could come up with these headlines? All right. This is a different story. This is from CNN. This is our world. This is Germany. Clothed troublemakers, supposedly, are banned from nudist beaches. So the government is protecting the beaches for nude people so that people with clothes on them don't disrupt what it is they're doing in their birthday suits. You following along with this world? This is the world we live in. It used to be that, what, you want to go to a nudist colony? What is the matter? You want a nudist beach? What are we, France? And all of a sudden, if you go to one with clothes on, then you're the terrorist. You're the bad guy. Staggering. Now, that's not the story I was looking for. News. I meant to say news, not news. Democrats sickened by Newsom's comments on men and women's sports.
What could he have possibly said?
Well, I think to his credit, apparently starting a podcast, and he had his first guest, Charlie Kirk. And I believe they were talking about the aforementioned study about trans surgeries not actually helping people. And apparently Governor Newsom said some things that appeared to be sympathetic toward a conservative standpoint, a position of there's two genders and we need to help these people. And for it, wow, did he take a beating? Isn't that telling? He said, it's deeply unfair to women, deeply unfair that a man participates in women's sports. Scott Wiener, an openly gay Democrat, state senator from San Francisco, he expressed his disappointment in Newsom, whom he praised for having many courageous moments over the decades supporting LGBTQ people. Quote, he has taken political hits for doing so. I and so many will be forever grateful for that courage. But this is not one of those moments. Charlie Kirk is a vile bigot. Hey, that's judging. Charlie Kirk is a vile bigot, and standing with him on this issue is profoundly disturbing. So maybe Gavin Newsom, kind of reading the tea leaves, going, this ain't a winning issue. He's trying to maybe moderate a little bit. And what does he get? Shellacked. Equality California. This is a leading LGBT advocacy organization, said in a statement, it's disappointment and angered by Newsom's comments. This is why I don't want to be a total, complete, wet blanket drag, just a partial one. Let's be glad that there's some positive legislation. No, it's not legislation. It's executive orders that are being signed. The wall is being built. That's cool. We love that. But this undertow, this spiritual, moral undertow in our country, it cannot be fixed with an auto pen. I'm sorry, that was the last administration. Did you see that? I can't remember the details, but like out of like 400 pieces of legislation or executive orders, one was actually signed by Joe Biden. The rest were auto pens. Who was in charge there? Who knows? The point is that an executive order can't fix the problem. Can't fix it. And that is why I'm telling you, if we want to see a nation changed, then we've got to go in and do heart surgery. That's the only thing that is going to fix this. And I can't tell you, we just posted a video on this. I think it's doing, a lot of people are watching it, Jimmy. The one that Dalton, where Dalton went to the University of Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, he shared with me that the president of the University of Kentucky got up before the freshmen to say, hey, if you're here and you come here with a Christian worldview, you're a religious person, you need to know we're going to do everything we can to dismantle that, break it down and deconstruct you so that you can have your own worldview. What? Who do you think you are? Unbelievable. And that's what happens. And so many kids go to university. They come out of evangelical homes. And the next thing you know, they're let's just politely state it as the party lifestyle. And they're miserable. And they feel like they violated their consciences because they've rejected the faith of their family and they're feeling miserable. Well, guess what? They would like somebody to talk to them. I know it. I see it. I experience it. We saw it with these revivals that are breaking out, which can be a bit of a hash. They can be some good, some bad, a mixture of all of those things. We got to get to the campuses, y'all. We got to get there. They will talk to you. They will have conversations with you because they're either, and this is what we're putting together. I think we've got five of these. Dalton is working on this. By the way, hey, this is positive. We started to hear from people at universities saying, yeah, we'd like for Fortis Institute to come to our campus all over the country. And we're super excited about that. So if you're a campus ministry, you're involved in campus ministry and you can get us on the campus. In other words, you can secure a room for us. We'll send you the posters. You got to print them. We'll pay for airfare, lodging, all of that stuff. We just want to be a blessing to your campus. And we've got five different programs. One of them is, hey, did you come to campus and your Christian faith is in a bit of a tatter right now? Let's talk. Or trying to sort out reality, trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Has secular humanism let you down? Let's talk. Third one would be emotional issues, depressed, anxious, lonely. We'll bring Greg Gifford for that one. Hey, young man, are you trying to sort it and maybe determining Andrew Tate shouldn't be your role model? Well, we'll bring Adam Tyson for that one. Hey, have you been persuaded that maybe the Bible is false because of the origin lie that's told on university campuses called evolution? We'll bring Jason Lyle in. And I think five people responded, five different campuses have contacted us already. Are you one of them? Send an email to dalton@fortisinstitute.org. Church, kids are willing to talk. All we need to do is go. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.